The question I want to ask you this morning is, where's the hope? Where is the hope? Since day one of what we have been going through for the last several weeks now, we have heard all sorts of different takes, different models. And those models are not filled with a lot of hope. I don't know about you, but I don't hear a lot of people trying to talk about hope. I hear a lot of fear. I hear a lot of panic. All of a sudden, we're going to start blaming everybody for this. But the question I keep asking is, where is the hope? Now, let's be honest. A lot of this is very legitimate. If someone were to tell you that 2 million Americans were going to die, I'm pretty certain you would take whatever measures possible to see if you couldn't reduce that number. I mean, that's the number we started with. That's where we've been talking about. And in that moment, fear moved in, and it took up residence in our country. And we need to be honest, it took up residence in our homes and within us. And the last several weeks, we have been wrestling with, what do we do with all this fear? What do we do with all this uncertainty of what is going on and what has happened? We've changed everything. We have shut down schools. We have shut down churches. We have ended sporting activities. We've changed nearly everything we could change, right? Because it's all in a response to, how do we stop this? I mean, and shouldn't we be able to stop it? After all, it's 2020. We can do anything. Our cars can nearly do everything, can't they? We have amazing technology available to us. We have smart everything, from smartphones to smart watches to smart thermometers on the walls of our homes. Everything is smart. Everything is digital. Everything is technology. Everything is about online. And yet something came in and invaded that we didn't think could come in and invade it. It's called fear. It's called uncertainty. And in all of that, what has been missing, what I haven't heard a lot of, and what I want to help us reconnect with this morning, is hope. We've been missing hope. And it's time for the lost posters to go up, asking where hope is. And I'm going to tell you, hope is here. And I want to tell you about hope today. You know, we're going to spend this Easter very different. Instead of getting dressed up, getting pictures with our family, gathering together for big family dinners, coming to church together, we're going to spend this mostly in isolation, separated from people, and it's very different from what we are used to. But I saw something the other day that triggered this within me. This probably isn't much different from the first Easter. The disciples were alone. They were isolated. They were kind of shut up in a room all by themselves. They were scared. They were uncertain. They had no idea what was next. In fact, if I could this morning, I just want to introduce you to one of those disciples. I'm sure many, if you've been to church before, you know his name, you know his story, you've heard a little bit here and there about what he does. But Peter has a fascinating story, and it's that story I want to kind of relate to you this morning, because what Peter finds is what we need: hope. Peter was a fisherman, and there he is on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus comes along, and he invites Peter, "Peter, come follow me." And Peter leaves his nets, and he goes off, and he follows Jesus. Now, Peter probably thought what some of the other disciples thought, and what many of the crowds thought: Jesus was the Messiah, but a Messiah that would come and deliver them from Rome. And so here's Peter, and sometimes Peter said some incredible things, like, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter said that, and then afterwards said something else, and Jesus had to say, "What? Get behind me, Satan." It is Peter who, when Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "Are you going to leave?" A lot of other people have left. It was Peter who said what? "Where else would we go? You're the only ones that have the words for eternal life. We're sticking with you, Jesus. There's nobody else." So there's Peter. And Peter was in it till the end. And he fought Jesus a lot the last week before the cross and before Easter. He fought Jesus a lot. He fought Jesus about what? The feet washing? He fought Jesus that night and said, no, you're not going to the cross. I'm going with you. And finally, Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the night is over. And Peter did just that. And when they arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was Peter that whipped out a sword and cut off the ear of one of the guards that came to take Jesus to the high priest. And Jesus had to tell him to put it away. And Peter follows them to the courtyard of the high priest, and it's there that he denies Jesus three times. And he just kind of disappears. He goes into hiding. He's told he's hung on a cross. Maybe he watches from a distance. Jesus is laid in the grave. The tomb, the stone is rolled across the entrance of the tomb. And he goes, it's over. It's all over. And he goes back to the room in which they were at, thinking, what's going to happen next? Are they coming for us? Are they coming for me? And there he is, isolated, alone, and uncertain about the future. And then Easter comes, doesn't it? And on Easter morning, what happens? Mary Magdalene runs and finds him and says, he's alive. The tomb is empty. And we're told that Peter goes there and he kind of looks in and he didn't know what to think about what has happened and what has taken place. He doesn't know what to think. And so he just kind of goes back. But it's that night, that very night, that first Easter night, that Peter sees Jesus as he walks into that room and he invites all the disciples, see for yourself. And everything changed. 50 days later, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, goes out and he preaches a message and thousands come and follow Jesus. And the church is off and running. Peter's imprisoned. Peter is preaching. Peter is seeing people be healed. It is an amazing time in the early church. So have you ever thought about, well, what happened? What happened that changed everything that day? Hope happens. And when Jesus walked out of the tomb and Jesus saw that his rabbi, who had died a shameful death on the cross, was alive, it changed everything. It gave Peter the one thing he needed that would carry him for the rest of his life. Hope. Hope. And so I want to read you some of the words that Peter wrote probably 30 years after that first Easter, being isolated, alone, and uncertain about what was going to happen. There are some amazing words. They're all found in a book called 1 Peter. Peter wrote two epistles, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And he also worked with Mark on writing the Gospel of Mark. He gave Mark all his accounts of what he saw with Jesus. But it's in this book called 1 Peter that Peter is kind of looking back and he's kind of trying to encourage people at the same time. And I want you to see where he goes because I think we need these words today. Beginning verse number 1, beginning verse number 3, chapter 1, 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he gave us new birth. Peter said, I'm not the same person I was. He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That living hope is because why? Because Jesus rose again. That is, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is reserved, Peter said, in heaven for you, who, by God's power, are protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This brings you great joy, and I love what he says next, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various troubles. A living hope. He knew that when Jesus rose again, it gave a living hope, a glorious expectation and confidence in God that he would do what he said he would do, and there was waiting for us a life beyond this life. And he says, what? It's a hope that can bring joy in the midst of suffering. He says, you're going to have to face trials. And isn't that true? That is what we are going through right now. Trials, difficulty, suffering. And we think, well, it's 2020, we're suffering. Yeah, we're suffering. We've been so good at eliminating it, not talking about it, doing away with it, that when it comes to our shores, we really aren't sure what to do about it. He continues, after he talks about this living hope that gives us great joy no matter what we are going through, and it's exactly what we need right now. He continues, verse 13, therefore get your minds ready for action by being fully sober, fully alert, he says, and set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. I need you, Peter said, do you know what I had to do? I had to set my hope completely upon Jesus Christ. Peter had it in what? Jesus, the political hero. In fact, as Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, do you know what the last thing the disciples are trying to get Jesus to tell them? Okay, when's it going to happen? Yeah, you had to suffer all. Yeah, you had to suffer. Okay, but you're alive. When do we get to get rid of the Romans? And Jesus has to look and go, oh, no. No, you're going to be my witnesses. And there's a message that needs to go out to everybody that I am alive, that I'm at work, and that there is hope. Because Peter kept placing his hope in all the wrong things. Jesus is going to be the political savior. Jesus really isn't going to die. There's no way they could kill him. And he kept placing his hope in all the wrong things. And there's Jesus risen, alive, and he puts his hope in the living, resurrected Christ. You know, I keep wondering if what this time really did is reveal all the wrong places, me included, put our hope. And when those things got taken away, when they got changed, when they got canceled, it messed us up. We didn't know what to do. Because all it did for us is reveal that our hope was in the wrong place. And it's time to take our hope and put in the only place our hope should be, in Jesus Christ. He continues, verse number 18. You know that from your empty way of life, inherited from your ancestors, you were ransomed. I love that. An empty way of life. I think many of us have come to realize we might have been living a very empty way of life. Life without hope in Christ. So he continues, you were ransomed, you were redeemed, you were purchased, not by perishable things like silver and gold, okay? That's not how you were bought. You were redeemed by the precious blood, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb, namely Christ, that Jesus died to ransom and buy you back, that he paid a huge, high price for you and for me. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for your sake, Peter says. Through him you now trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and, here's our word again, our hope are in God. I love how Peter wraps that up. He just brings back hope again. He said, listen, do you realize Jesus did everything in order to give you hope? He did everything in order to give you hope. He did everything in order to give me hope. And I've just taken my hope and put it in the wrong places. And then when something comes along unexpected, it shakes the very foundation of our lives. And all of a sudden, you know what we figured out? Where did our hope go? Where did it go? Where did we lose it? Because as I said earlier, there's just not a lot of people talking about a lot of hope right now. I hear a lot of fear. I hear a lot of uncertainty. But I don't hear a lot of people talking about hope. And isn't any wonder? We're talking models. We're talking deaths. We're talking viruses. We're talking how it affects everything. Where's the hope in all of that? The hope in everything in this life is in Jesus. That's where Peter invites us to understand. And you know how Peter's life ended? Nero demanded to be worshipped as a god. He demanded that the Caesars be worshipped as gods. And Peter had nothing to do with that. And neither did Paul. And they got ready to crucify Peter, take his life from him. You know what Peter's request was, according to tradition? Please, would you take the cross and flip it upside down? I am not worthy to die in the same manner as my Lord. Wow. What allowed him in that moment to stay courageous, to keep his faith in Jesus with certain death coming? Hope. Hope's what allowed him to do that. And it's what you and I desperately need right now. We need hope. And hope is alive, and hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. So to wrap up this morning, I really want to take two groups and talk to you individually. The first group is those of you who, like me, follow Jesus. And the second group are those of you who have maybe followed Jesus at one point of your life, used to, have questions, are skeptical, are trying to figure things out. You're the second group I want to talk to and want to address this morning. But the first group, Christ followers, have we lost our hope? Was it placed in all the wrong things? And now when things get hard and difficult, we're like, what happened? This is what I've been asking myself. And so I heard a great thing the other day from a guy by the name of Mike Foster. Love his podcast. Love what he does with it. But he began to look at this time and he said he found himself losing hope. His words, he was losing hope, like many of us have done. Who followed Jesus? And he said, you know what I decided I needed? I needed it for myself. We needed it as a family. And he said, and it has gone from there, and it has been an encouragement to our neighbors. He said, I decided to get my Christmas lights out and put them on my house. And he said, you can imagine the neighbors are going, what are you doing? Mike, it's March. What are you doing? And he said, I need you to know something. The Foster family has not lost hope. In the midst of everything going on, we have not lost hope. And that's what he did. And he says, you know what happens when I see those lights? That's my marker of hope. You know what happens when our family sees it? It's our marker of hope. You know what happens when my neighbor sees it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember what Mike told us? The Foster family has not lost hope. I think we need a marker of hope. I'm not suggesting you go put your Christmas lights up. I'm suggesting you find something that will work for you. Maybe it's to plan a trip. Maybe it's to say, when this is over, we are going on this trip. Maybe it's to say, we're going to do this activity as a family. Just to say, it's down, it's on here, this is our marker of hope. Because we believe Jesus is in charge of everything, and we're going to trust him through all of this. And here is our marker of hope, that he is in charge, and he is working, and he has a plan through all of this. So that's what I'm going to ask as Christ followers. We're going to try to figure this out at our house as well. What is our marker of hope? So that when somebody asks, or when we see it every day in our homes, we can tell ourselves, oh, we have not lost hope. So that's for you, Christ followers. Let's not lose hope. Maybe this is revealed we kind of messed up, and we can recapture that living hope all over again. For you who are not Christ followers, as I said, maybe you started off life that way, but then you went to college. Professor told you the Bible's just a bunch of made-up stories. Peter's not a made-up person. History tells us Peter existed. History tells us how he died. History tells us that he followed a man by the name of Jesus, that he was the leader of the early church. History tells us all that. But we sit there and we just act like, oh, he never existed. Can I tell you what that professor probably didn't tell you? He didn't give you any reason that Jesus didn't raise from the dead. They never, other than to say it's a myth or it didn't happen, but all the evidence says the tomb was empty. That Paul said, do you know that 500 people saw him? Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, said, go ask them. Don't take my word for it, go ask them. Do you know you can read eyewitness accounts, not in Scripture, that are recorded for us of people who saw Jesus, the kids of those witnesses, because there is so much evidence, there's so much proof. Go examine it for yourself. Because what you need is hope. A lot of other worldviews offer you all sorts of different packages and treats and things. They don't give you hope. What you need is hope. And that hope is found in a man named Jesus who came, was born, lived the life on this broken, fallen world, died in our place, rose again for our salvation. Our hope's in him. My hope's in nothing else other than Jesus. And when I've let it slip, I've messed up. And I've gotten off track, and we all are guilty of that. But I'm inviting you today, perhaps for the first time in a long time, why don't you examine hope again? For those of you who never have, you know what's missing in your life? Hope. Hope. That isn't following Jesus, everything goes perfectly. I just told you how Peter's life ended. It isn't come follow Jesus and the virus doesn't touch you. That's not the story. The story is come follow Jesus because this life ends and we are invited into everlasting life with him. And so I'm going to invite you. It is just a simple prayer to invite Jesus to be your Savior, to ask him for that living hope because he is alive and you want to put him in charge of your life. And if you'll do that today, you can reach out to us here. There's email addresses for you in the comment section. You can reach out to us, and we'd like to just send you something that will help you get started off on the right track in your journey with Jesus. But as I pray for this morning, I will pray for you that you will make a serious decision to follow Jesus, to get back what you were missing. And for followers of Jesus, it's time for us to start putting our hope in the right place and setting up a marker of hope. I want to pray for us this morning that we would regain our hope, and for those of you for the first time, would welcome Jesus into your life to give you the hope that you need. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning. I pray for those people who are considering for the first time following you, that what's been missing in their life is hope. And Jesus, you are that hope. You walked out of the tomb 3 days later, conquering everything, so that when that time comes for us, we don't have to be afraid. We put our trust in you. Because we know this life ends. And we know that you've promised us an abundant life, an eternal life. And I would ask, Father, you would just draw people to you, that they would welcome you into their lives, they would find a Savior, they would find forgiveness, they would be set on a new path, they would have hope. And then, Father, I pray for us Christ followers, who, if we will admit, we didn't handle any of this very well. And it's okay to get rattled. It's okay to go through uncertainty. It's not okay to put our hope in the wrong places. And I pray that you would help all of us find a marker of hope that would help us to say, we haven't lost hope because our hope is in Jesus. Would you help us to find that and put that together and do that so that we would always be reminded, our family would be reminded, and then when our neighbors say, what are you doing? That's my marker of hope. Our family hasn't lost hope. Would you help us do that today? Would you help us regain that living hope that you have given to us? Father, I thank you for those who are making decisions right now to follow you for the first time. I thank you for those who are following you, who are making decisions. It's time to start living in that hope. would you help them find a marker of hope? We thank you for this great day. And even though we're celebrating different than ever before, we thank you for it, and we thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, amen.